As patriots, it's our duty to rise up in a world full of darkness. Evil comes in many forms, and it lurks around unexpected corners. It's time to stop wondering what will happen if it comes to war. War is already here. It's time to rise. Rise up for truth. Rise up for freedom. Rise up for our rights as American citizens. And now, at the head of the militia, here's your host, Mickey Garris.
Hello, my fellow patriots, and welcome back to the show, Patriot Uprising Radio. I'm your fearless leader, Mickey Garris, and it's great to be here today with you on the show. Saturday, a warm week we've had. Man, it's been in the 90s, and just too hot too soon, and so dry. In fact, it's so dry that it's just getting flat out scary out there, if you want to know the truth. I tell you what, fire season's going to be dangerous, and I pray to God that we don't see the things that we saw last year, and that different communities don't end up having to go through things that they had to go through last year. Most of these communities, they haven't even recovered. And here we are again, going into June, and gosh, we've had the driest April and May on record, and there's no real rain or weather systems coming in sight. And it already feels like it typically would in August, and the conditions in the ground, the way things have dried out, it's already in, late August conditions. At my house, in just a couple weeks, I've got these inch cracks in the ground. I've never seen that before, where it's like the soil, it just instantly dried up. If you look at, all the vegetation and the underbrush, it never really, got a chance to even get wet from last year. It's just, things are just a tinderbox out there right now. So dangerous, and no rain in sight. I think we're going to be in trouble. I pray to God that people are smart out there when they're out and about in the wilderness and doing their work and things like that. I pray that we don't get any lightning storms that ignite things, and I pray that there's not any crazies out there that are just looking for this opportunity to cause such a problem like we had last year. But we definitely need water. I coach baseball, and I run softball programs, and in the spring we want to play. We hate rainouts, but as a baseball coach, I can tell you right now, I would rather have it be raining right now. I wish we could get a month full of just dumping rain so we can get things greened up and just protect our valley a little bit better from the fire danger, because I think it's going to be a nasty year. Speaking of baseball, my team, I got to brag a little bit, my Dallas boys. So I coach JBO baseball in Dallas, and I'm coaching a senior level this year, and it's mostly junior high boys, 7th and 8th graders. And we've had 7 games. We are undefeated right now. So the boys are just doing really well, and they're working hard, and we're fixing to have a good season. We're a little bit more than halfway through our league games, and then we're going to be going through the playoffs and hopefully all the way to the state championship game. That's my hope. I'm keeping my fingers crossed. And this year, I think I got the team that I think can get us there. These boys are hard workers. I tell them all the time when we get on the field, I said, do better than you did the last time we were here and give me 100%. And that's what these boys are doing. They're playing some ball. So I got a co-host in the studio today with me, my son. We just got out of a baseball game, actually, and we came straight here. And so he's tagging along with me today. And what do you think about baseball season, Noah? How's it going for you?
It's been pretty good, but it's been really hot.
Yeah, it's been a little bit hot, a little bit dry. So what do you think? Are we going to go all the way this year?
Yep.
So the problem is, I think we can, but I need to find a decent catcher on my team. That's where we're really struggling, huh, Noah?
That's not nice.
Noah's our catcher. Actually, he does a pretty decent job most of the time. So I'm always yelling at him, telling him he's got to be a wall back there. But if you've ever played on a team for your dad, you know that you're probably the player that gets it the hardest. And I'd have to say that Noah hears about things more than the rest of the team. He gets it on the way to the field. He gets it on the way home from the field. He gets it at home. And, you know, at this age, you know, and being a parent, we can beat them up a little bit more if they're... You're not allowed to beat somebody else's kids. That's what I learned. But if they're playing on your baseball team and it's your own kid, you can be a little bit tougher on them. So what do you think about that, Noah?
I think it's all right since I am your kid, but sounds weird when you said I learned that I couldn't beat the other kids.
Now, we have a good time out there, and gosh, we love the game. We love playing ball. And it's good to be out there because, you know, last year in the spring, because of COVID, we'll just call it the manufactured Fauci crisis right now, the China virus from the Wuhan lab, it shut things down. It has just halted life. We know that it's killed our economy. It shut down many small businesses. And but the worst thing that it's done is it's hurt the kids. It's hurt the youth. And I've got a daughter this year. She's a senior and 4.0 student, played sports her whole life, volleyball and softball, and has just done excellent in school. And guess what? She's graduating. In fact, our graduation ceremony is tomorrow. She's graduating with honors. She's in the National Honor Society. She's got a nice scholarship to George Fox University, and she wants to study nursing and get into their physician assistant program. And anyway, super, super proud of her and super excited about, you know, what's ahead in her life. But it's been just a brutal year for her, being a senior and being, you know, the year that you're supposed to participate in all these fun senior activities. And they haven't been able to do anything. They haven't been in school. They haven't been able to go anywhere. They didn't get any senior trips. They got no baccalaureate. They aren't even getting a real graduation ceremony. So our graduation ceremony in Dallas, get this, it's a parade in cars. And only immediate family can be in the cars. And you drive through the parade route. And then the student, when you get up by the stage, the student gets to get out, walk up, grab the diploma, and then you're supposed to drive away. No social gatherings. It's ridiculous. And I'm a little bit upset about that, if you can't tell. I think we need to celebrate these seniors who have worked so hard. They deserve a bigger celebration. And it's been stripped away from them for this pandemic that it turns out it's not really much of a pandemic at all. Same thing with my son, Noah, junior high, 7th grade this year. He hasn't been in school in a year and a half. And sometimes I look at that kid and I think, you desperately need education. I mean, I'm looking at him right now and it's just like, I don't know. You can only watch so much Pokemon and Naruto on TV before it starts affecting your brain. No, actually, those shows aren't allowed in my house. I can't stand those drawings. But bottom line is, the kids not being in school and just not having this normal life, it's absolutely affecting them. And for Noah, a couple months ago, they said, hey, we're excited to announce we're going back to this hybrid learning and your kids are going to be back in class and you know, we're going to start getting back to normal. So we were super excited to put him back and have him, you know, go somewhere that resembled some type of schooling and hopefully improve the education, because what they're getting at home on this distance learning is a bunch of crap. And you know what it is? It's basically a study hall. It's actually as bad. When I was in school, they used to send me to a place like this for detention when I did something wrong. So they got to go in this classroom, and there's only one or two of them that are in the classroom, but they're completely separated. They're not allowed to interact with each other. And they're still sitting on their Chromebooks doing the same exact distance learning lesson as they would be if they decided to stay home and do it from the couch. And I heard about this, and I just, it floored me. I could not believe it. Why are they making us take our kids to school at crazy hours? It's not even, you know, normal hours. If you're working parents, you have to get out of work, you know, in the middle of the day to take your kids to these modified hours of school and to make sure that they're there during their certain time and day for their cohort that they're in. And they're not even doing anything different in the school. They're sitting in an uncomfortable desk doing the same lesson on the Chromebook, and they're not getting any instruction from the teacher. It absolutely blows my mind. You know, I've talked to the administration about this stuff, and they just say, hey, you know, we're doing the best we can. Well, you know what? Here's the deal. The best you can do is not good enough, because it's failing our kids. I had a meeting with the superintendent the other day, and I told him, I said, honestly, the majority of the kids that are going to advance to the next grade level have not shown a sufficient mastery of the subjects that they were supposed to learn. And that's actually the standard. That's the requirement. You don't pass the grade until that you've shown that you've mastered those subjects. And the superintendent shook his head and he said, I know. He said, you're right. They haven't. Over 70% of them won't. And it's going to put them behind for several years. But we've got to advance them. There's nothing we can do. Our hands are tied on the subject. And it's absolutely ridiculous. Noah, what do you think about all this that's going on? What would you like to see? What's the fix for this?
I think it's stupid. Like, you go into the classroom, there's three kids, and you have to wear your masks all day, whether you're outside or inside. I wish we could just be in one big classroom with all our friends and everything.
Yeah, I heard about that. I got a boy on my baseball team that got put in mask timeout because he was outside on recess. He was away from everybody else, and he was actually struggling a little bit to breathe. He just needed some fresh air, and he took his mask off. And the teacher came running over and yelled at him and made a scene in front of everybody and actually put him in mask timeout. It blows my mind. I'm so surprised. I'm waiting for civil rights attorneys to do something. I'm waiting for somebody to do something because what they're doing to our kids, it's abusive. It's not right, and we should not put up with it. And I tell you what, somebody needs to challenge this stuff. Now, you guys have heard me say before that I believe that private businesses and industries should have the right to make up their own rules. If you want to go onto their private property, if you want to shop in their stores or eat in their establishments, they have a right to set the rules for that establishment. And I'm a firm believer in that. So if you go to a place like Walmart and corporates decided that they want you to wear a mask, well, you probably should wear a mask. Now, I'm not going to tell you that I don't try to sneak in there whenever I can and avoid putting on the mask as much as possible. But if management comes up to you and says, hey, you need to put a mask on or leave the store, that's when you need to follow instructions. If you don't follow instructions, I think you're wrong for that. But again, as a consumer and the people that support these industries and these businesses, I think we just need to learn to take our business to people that are going to be friendly with our beliefs and not force these crazy mandates that infringe on your civil rights and your liberties. And I'm waiting again. Where are all the attorneys at? Where are the lawyers at? I'm not a sue happy guy. I've never sued anybody in my life. But you would think that there would be some attorneys out there that are willing to take this on. And I was thinking, if you just picked one industry, if you just took Walmart, for example, and if everybody decided, you know what, we don't like this mask policy at Walmart, we're going to boycott them. If we all stuck together on that, it would open up Walmart's eyes. And guess what? Walmart, they've got a lot of power. They've got a lot of lobby power. They've got a lot of influence. And they might be able to sway some people that are the decision makers in the state of Oregon. They might be able to sway the Fuhrer, Kate Brown. The other thing you can do You can just go after Walmart. You can go after Walmart with a lawsuit. If we got everybody to do a class action lawsuit against Walmart, even though it's just one of these corporations that are infringing upon our rights, if we got everybody to go after them, they're big enough, and it would set a precedence that, maybe the other places like Target and all the other businesses that are enforcing this crazy mandate, maybe it'd make them open their eyes and change their practices. Stick with me, friends. We'll be right back here on Patriot Uprising Radio. I'm your host, Mickey Garris, and I got my co-host Noah with me here today, and we'll be right back.
We're back with more Patriot Uprising Radio with Mickey Garris.
Hello, my fellow patriots, and welcome back to the show, Patriot Uprising Radio. I'm here with you today on this fine, warm Saturday afternoon. And guess what? It's graduation weekend for many of you guys. If you are a senior, if you are graduating this year, congratulations. Well-deserved. I wish you the best for your future. And I just want you to enjoy this time. Be safe. Don't do anything stupid. But have fun. Enjoy your time with your friends, your family. Congratulations. This is your weekend and you've earned it. All right? Big things moving ahead for you guys. I know it. I've got a good feeling. My daughter, Anna, you've rocked it. We're so proud of you. Good job on everything that you're doing. And we're excited to see what you're going to accomplish in the future. We were just talking about school and about COVID and about the mask mandates and the lack of education. And this is nothing new. This is something you guys are hearing quite a bit. You've heard it from me before. You've heard it from a lot of other hosts. And gosh, I'm just getting so tired of talking about it, but it's stuff that we still need to cover. And the important thing is you guys can't become complacent. You can't have apathy and just stick your head in the sand, because that is how we got to this position in the first place. So it's important for us now, more than ever, to stand up and be willing to engage and pay attention to what's going on, because things are about ready to get heated up, I'm afraid. We know that the Fuhrer and her comrades are getting more and more boldened about how to enforce the vaccine. And they're eagerly looking at ways to strip us of our freedoms and basically make us outcast in society, ostracize us from the rest, so to speak. And you already see it. It's actually the modern day discrimination, modern day segregation. It's been compared to Jim Crow laws, etc. But the bottom line is, if you're not going to have your vaccine, for whatever reason, maybe it's health reasons, maybe it's religious reasons, the bottom line is you should be able to decide. You should be able to choose for yourself. Is this vaccine good or is it bad? And whatever you decide should be fine with everybody. But here in Oregon, they're going to enforce these vaccine passports, and they're going to keep tightening the belt up. And they're, you know, right now they don't see a legal way that they can force you to take the vaccine. But what they're working on doing, and they've already started it, is how can we make your life complicated if you don't take the vaccine? How can we hurt you? We want you to take that vaccine so bad that we're going to make your life very uncomfortable. And we're going to keep you from being able to do the things that you love doing, from being able to go socialize in society, from being able to freely go watch a Blazers game, which I don't know why anybody wants to go watch a basketball game. Sorry, that's not my cup of tea. I don't know why anybody wants to go to Portland, of all places. It's a cesspool. It's a sick, liberal cesspool. Okay? But have you noticed that the Blazers are able to have their game and they're able to have thousands of fans? Now, I think it's funny. For the first time, once the season opened up and the Blazers wanted to do this, Kate Brown changed her guidelines earlier in the week. Why do you think she did that? Well, if she did it at the normal time that she's done it the entire year and a half that we've been dealing with COVID, and she's had this emergency executive power, it would be too late for the Friday Blazer game. So now the Blazer season's starting. They have a chance to have people come watch them. But still, that area up in Portland, it still did not meet. It did not meet at the time the criteria for them to open up and have the fans that they wanted to have there. And so, lo and behold, Kate Brown decides to early, in advance, she's not done this once, not in the entire year and a half, but she decides to announce that they have lowered the standards and updated everything, and they're 3 or 4 days early, and all of a sudden, now they meet the criteria that they had to meet. Can you believe that? That should just show you how corrupt these people are. That should just show you that money talks, it's powerful, and it actually controls our politicians. Now, I don't think there should be restrictions. I think anybody should be able to go to whatever game they want to go to, and there shouldn't be restrictions. I think the restrictions are 100% ridiculous. But my point is, Kate Brown, the Fuhrer, changed the standards for the Blazers. She would not do that for anybody else. She wouldn't do that for any of us peasants, our subjects down here. She only does it for the elites, the rich and the powerful. Why? Because they influence her. They give her money. They are power over her. And that should make everybody ticked off. None of us should put up with that crap. Now, going back to what this vaccine is actually doing, though, it's dividing us, and that's what they want. So, yes, there will be a Blazer game tomorrow, and yes, fans can attend, but they're going to have designated seating areas. Designated seating areas for those that are vaccinated and those that are refusing to take the vaccine. How ridiculous is that? Everybody's in the same damn building, my friends. You don't think that we're not breathing the same air? You don't think that all that air is not circulating through that building? If you're on one side of the building or the other side of the building, you don't think that there's the possibility that you're going to be breathing in somebody's air that, God forbid, is from an unvaccinated human being? It absolutely blows my mind how stupid people are and how ridiculous these mandates are. It doesn't make any sense. It's just like when you go into a restaurant and you sit down at the magic table and poof, you can take off your mask and the air you breathe is safe. And everybody walking by, it's safe for them too. It's absolutely asinine, my friends. I'm serious. I can't believe we're letting people get away with this. And more so, I can't believe that we have such idiots running this state that they're imposing these ridiculous regulations and mandates on us, unconstitutional, stripping us of our rights, and none of it makes sense. And we're sitting on our butts not doing anything about it. Just take my rights. Take my freedom. Take my air. Go for it. You can have it all. That's our mentality right now. They're dividing us. They're separating the vaccinated from the unvaccinated. And the people that choose not to get it, for whatever reason, the people that choose not to get it are going to be mistreated and have missed opportunities. Don't turn that dial. Stick right with me. We'll be back here on Patriot Uprising Radio.
We're back with more Patriot Uprising Radio with Mickey Garris.
Hello, my fellow patriots. Welcome back to the show, Patriot Uprising Radio. I'm your host, Mickey Garris. I've got my co-host, my sidekick here with me today, Noah. Noah, say hi.
What's up?
Noah and I just got done with a ball game. We kicked some butt. We played awesome. I think I told you at the beginning of the show, we're 7-0 right now. We are ahead. We're number one in our league for the JBO Senior Nationals. And it just feels good. It feels good to be out on the field. It feels good to have some normalcy for these boys and watching them play a sport that they love. And then it makes you think about how ridiculous this last year and a half is. And we were talking about the schools. And I actually heard a rumor, and it doesn't surprise me whatsoever, that schools in the fall are public schools, that is, are seriously looking at making the vaccine mandatory. If you want to attend that school, they're going to make you get the jab. And I have so many red flags about that. Number one, no vaccine should ever be mandatory. There's good vaccines, there's bad vaccines. We've talked about that. I'm not an anti-vaxxer, but I do believe in freedom. I do believe that everybody makes a choice for themselves. what's right for themselves, what's right for them family, based on their own medical history, consulting with their doctors, and let them make an informed, educated decision about what to do. It blows my mind the push to get everybody vaccinated when, if it was really working, if you really had confidence in your vaccine, you would not care if I have my vaccine. We could be in the same room. If your vaccine's working, why do you care if I don't have a vaccine? I don't get it. I got in an argument the other day on social media with a guy, and I asked him that, you know, and he said, well, it's because there's a 5% chance. There's a 5% chance that my vaccine's not going to work. And if I don't want you to expose me to COVID if my vaccine doesn't work in that 5% chance. And I'm like, buddy, can you hear yourself? I mean, give me a flipping break. Number one, you're worried about your vaccine not working because there's a 5% chance you think that your vaccine's not going to work. For a virus that if you catch it, you have a 99.6% chance that you're going to survive and be just fine. So you're worried about me not getting my vaccine because there's a 5% chance that your vaccine doesn't work for a virus that you have a 99.6% chance of survival if you get it, even if you don't have the vaccine. That doesn't make any sense whatsoever. He's so terrified. And that is exactly what the government has done. They have run a successful campaign about these vaccines and a successful campaign about COVID, about how awful COVID is. And they've scared the crap out of society and making think COVID is the new Black Plague. And my friends, it is not the Black Plague. And if you've been paying attention for the last 2 days, what's happened, we know that Fauci has lied to us. In fact, we know that Rand Paul has been screaming it from the top of his mouth. He's been right that Fauci has been lying, that the virus was developed in a laboratory in Wuhan, China, and Fauci is involved in it. He's tied to it financially. He knew that it was created at the very beginning stages, and he lied to everybody. And we know this now. We have it confirmed. We're not hearing about it from the mainstream media because you know why? They've been protecting his ass for the last year and a half. But we know it's confirmed now because Fauci, he didn't pull a Hillary Clinton. He didn't pull no Hillary Clinton and bleach bit his laptop and erase his emails and have a private server, an illegal private server. He didn't do that. That guy was such a moron. He just left everything on his computer, and they got the emails, and they have email exchanges of him and other people talking about this virus. They caught Fauci red-handed. Now, he's probably wishing right now that he got a hold of Hillary and said, hey, Hillary, can you come over here and help me get rid of these emails? It'd be nice if, could we take a hammer to these things like you took to yours and just make him disappear? He probably should have done that. But you know what? Too little, too late. The emails are leaked. We know the truth now. We know that Fauci lied. We know that the media has been covering for him. And you know what? I'm going out on a limb here. I'm going to say it right now. It might be premature, but I don't believe Fauci is going to kill himself. Okay? I believe that you'll hear that he killed himself one day. He might have some car accident or something like this down the road. But just remember, I don't think he killed himself, and I don't think Jerry Epstein killed himself either. This is the kind of corruption and manipulation that the government has been doing to us. And like I said, they've been successful in their campaign to scare the crap out of the American populace. Who are we? Who are we now? How did we become this society that is so fearful and so afraid to fight back against tyranny and corruption, especially when we know the truth? That's the funny thing. We keep hearing the truth, you know. We don't like the way things are going, and they tell us one thing, and we just kind of, yeah, it feels funny. Something stinks. You know, but we don't really go any further. We might complain about it in our circles, but we don't really take it any further. And then, over time, more and more stuff leaks. Just like the election. We didn't feel like Biden won. We were pretty upset about that. We thought there was fraud. We assumed there was fraud. But you know what? What can we do about it? Let's just kind of move on, and hopefully we get through this next 4 years. And then, the last 100 days... that they've actually been able to do investigations and more information has come out. It turns out, holy crap, Donald Trump was right. The election was completely stolen. There was massive voter fraud. And lots of people should be in jail now. And honestly, the election should be overturned. We don't have a constitutional way to do that, unfortunately. But by the numbers and everything that's come out and what we know about the fraud and the corruption that took place, Donald Trump should still be our president. We know that now 100 days after the fact. And what are we doing? We're sitting around saying, that's too bad. Yeah, that sucks for us. Nothing we can do. But we're going to get him in the midterms. We need to have good voter turnout in the midterms. You know what, you guys? If we were in another country, people would not put up with that crap. How did Americans get so complacent? How did we get to the point where we allow this to go on and we don't make anybody ever have consequences for the tyranny they're committing against this republic? For stealing your vote and getting caught with your hand in the cookie jar and no consequences whatsoever. It blows my mind. And this is what's going to happen with Fauci. We know he's a crook. We know he lied to us. We know he's involved in China and the Wuhan lab and developing this vaccine. Developing this virus. This virus. And everybody's saying, you know what? This is a good deal. The vaccine's free. The vaccine's free. You know what, you guys? It's not free. You're paying for it big time. Our tax dollars are paying trillions of dollars. Why do you think Big Pharma is behind this? Why do you think they're pushing this vaccine so hard? Again, Big Pharma, big power, lots of money, lots of lobbying. They control politicians. They wanted this, and the government is paying them for this vaccine. The government doesn't have money. Where does the government get their money? Noah, where does the government get their money?
From us.
From us. Taxes. It's tax money. It's our tax money. They are raping us, my friends. They are stealing our money. Big Pharma is making trillions of dollars off of this vaccine, a vaccine that's not even needed, that nobody even knows if it works. Tell me this. If this vaccine works, remember during the COVID testing for the last year and a half, the testing was so completely inaccurate. It came back positive. It came back negative. It came back positive. It was all over the board. They did not have a good test. They didn't have good testing matrix. On top of that, everybody's been wearing masks. How do they even know this vaccine works at all? How can they even say the vaccine works with the standard of testing that they've had for the COVID virus? Because the tests are very inaccurate a large percentage of the time. So how can they say, yes, this person A got vaccinated and they tested negative or they tested positive, when the bottom line is you don't know if you're getting a good read on the test or not? It could be a false read on that test. And based on what that test is telling you, that's how you're deciding if the vaccine is effective or not. None of this about the vaccine makes any sense. Again, it's mind-boggling. We got these idiots running the show, and we're not doing anything about it. Every day, more and more information comes out. More and more information comes out. We know that there's major side effects from the vaccine. They're not telling us about it on mainstream media. I got a memo, an internal memo leaked. Somebody sent it to me that works for Marion County, and it's talking about all these heart problems that people are now having if they got the vaccine. Not just older people, but young kids too. And it gives the process of what to look for and what to do if somebody comes in with these issues that have received the vaccine. And it's becoming commonplace. And a lot of people are getting very sick. A lot of people have died. The figures are out there. There's numbers that are estimating that in the last 6 months, there's been possibly 4,000 to 5,000 people that have died from the vaccine. 4,000 to 5,000 people, and they're telling us this is safe and trying to force it on us? I don't think so. Don't turn that dial. We'll be right back here with Patriot Uprising Radio.
Back with more Patriot Uprising Radio with Nikki Garris.
Hello, my friends, and welcome back to the show, Patriot Uprising Radio. I'm your fearless leader, Mickey, and I'm here with my co-host today,
Noah.
Noah Garris, my son. We just got out of a baseball game, whooped some tail. It was a lot of fun. So we're talking about the vaccine, and we're talking about how I don't believe they can tell you if you're protected from the vaccine or not, because we still do not have accurate COVID test that you can rely on. So without a reliable COVID test, how can they guarantee one way or another that the vaccine is doing the job? And now they're trying to push it on us, and they're trying to make, you know, the people that don't want the vaccine feel guilty about it. They're trying to make life a little bit harder. We can't go shopping in the stores. We can't go to the movies. We can't go to the Blazers game. If we do go to these places, we have to be segregated. It's the new segregation, my friends. And this is going to be, trust me, this is going to be the new discrimination. We are going to be the discriminated class if you don't have the vaccine. Now I hear that public school teachers are telling their kids that in the fall, if they go back to school, they're going to have to get vaccinated. No. No, that's where I draw the line. That's when I yank my kid out of public school. The biggest regret I have that never happened in the Trump administration, my friends, is that he did not push the issue of school choice. He did not push the issue of allowing our tax dollars to be spent how we feel as parents is best for our kids, and picking the school, public or private, whatever we want, to send that money to so our kids can get the education that we believe in. And he talked about it, and I think he believes it. And I know he did so much for this country. He was such an awesome president. And that was just one of those things that he couldn't tackle. He couldn't do it alone. He didn't have the support that he needed to have. And it kind of died. I know he probably would have loved to get it done. But that's one of the things that I'm sorry didn't happen, because I feel like if it was going to happen, he was the president that could have got it done. But you know, when they tie him up for so many years on ridiculous impeachment trials, it's amazing he accomplished as much as he actually did accomplish for us, because they were wasting his time left and right on a bunch of ridiculous crap. It was embarrassing. If you were like me, you're looking at our Senate and our House and you're just embarrassed for the country. It's absolutely pathetic, right? The only person in Washington, D.C. at the time that was working for the United States citizens, that was working to save this republic and uphold our Constitution, protect our rights and our freedoms, and protect our religious freedom, was Donald Trump. And you guys can see now in 100 days how quickly it has turned. You guys should see how amazing he was, because how awful it has become this last 100 days without him. How quickly we have gone downhill under the Biden administration. I don't even think we should call it the Biden administration. We should call it the Harris administration, because Biden is a nut. He's not even there. He's gone. He's off in la-la land. He can't answer a question for the press. They flat out tell them. He tells the press, my handlers won't let me talk to you about this. I'll get in trouble if I say anything. Is this somebody we want running our country? And their policy choices, the way that they don't support Israel, the way that they're not supporting Israel, holy smokes, what is wrong with you? With Donald Trump, we were on the brink of peace in the Middle East. We were flourishing as a nation. We were wealthy. Our economy was strong. And in 100 days, the Middle East is complete chaos. We now are on the brink of World War III. We're not supporting our strongest and closest ally. We are in financial ruins. Our economy is collapsing. Our borders are not secure. And now we got everybody and their brother telling us that if we don't get our COVID shot, we can't participate in society. Enough is enough, my friends. You know the saying about when good men do nothing. That's where we're at. We're at that moment in time when we, like our forefathers did, have to make a decision. When we, like our forefathers did, have to draw that line in the sand and we make a choice. Are we going to fight for our future? Are we going to fight for our neighbor? Are we going to fight for our family? Are we fighting for religious freedom? Are we fighting for freedom in general? Or are we just going to allow them to keep trampling this republic and breaking it down and stripping us of our rights? You might not see it coming. You might be at an age that it doesn't matter a whole lot to you anymore. But I'm sitting next to my 14-year-old son right now, and to his generation, the choices we make today are huge. And they're going to affect his life. And they're going to affect the life of my grandchildren and their grandchildren. We either get it under control now, or we have a fighting chance. And I say that for a reason. When we have a fighting chance, because that's what's going to have to happen. We're going to have to fight if we want to preserve this republic. And while we have that fighting chance, we need to jump on it. Because it's not going to be long, my friends, before that slips through our grasp, before we no longer have the opportunity to put a stop to what's happening. To take this republic back, to protect this republic, protect our constitution, and keep our freedom and liberty. We are at that moment. We can sit on the sidelines and do nothing, or we can be part of the generation that says enough is enough. We're Americans, and we're going to stand up and fight. Because that's the right thing to do. Because we have a duty as Americans. We have a duty as Americans to do just that. That, my friends, is what needs to happen. Remember, Fauci lied and people died. They've been lying to us for a year and a half. They've stripped our rights and our freedom. They've kept our kids from school. Noah, say hi.
Hello.
See? That's all he knows. He's been out of school for a year and a half. His vocabulary is just gone in the tank. Noah, say goodbye.
Goodbye.
See? That's what I'm talking about. It's scary. It's scary. Too much Pokemon.
I don't even watch that.
Anyway, he's back here. He doesn't even know what to say. He's smiling and shaking his head at me like I'm going to get it later on. So apparently he didn't want you guys to know. But for reals, if you're not willing to do it for yourself, friends, think about the younger generation. We're making the choice for them, too. See, they don't get to decide if they live in a free republic or not. We have to decide that for them right now. If we don't, it's too late for them. They won't have that option. That's what I'm trying to tell you guys. We have to decide that right now. And speaking of a free republic, my friends, here in Oregon, you know, the Fuhrer, she is swiftly at it, and the Democrat supermajority, they are quickly working to strip all our rights. And to do that successfully, the first thing they always go after is what? Our gun rights, our Second Amendment. So you know that they passed Senate Bill 554. You know that the supermajority passed it. You know that that's the responsible gun lock storage bill, but it also drastically changes your rights as where you can carry a firearm with a concealed handgun license, how far you can be from public facilities, whether or not you can go on the Capitol grounds. You know, it's a huge bill that encompasses a lot of, get this, infringements on your Second Amendment right. Again, I don't know what's so hard to understand about shall not be infringed. Noah, what shall not be infringed mean?
They can't take it away. They can't mess with it.
They can't mess with it. Right there in black and white in our Bill of Rights. The number two, it was so important to our founders that they made that number two. The first was freedom of speech, freedom of religion, right? The second was our gun rights shall not be infringed. Our founders knew what they were talking about. They knew that we have to keep that right in order to keep the republic alive, because there would be corruption and there would be tyranny. So my friends, Mike Dearman, he is working on getting a referendum for Senate Bill 554. We need to crush that, and he needs your help. So Google responsible response, referendum 301, sign the petition, print out the papers and get other people to sign the petition. They need a ton of signatures, but we can get this Senate Bill 554 back on the ballot for the voters. We can have a referendum on it, and we can help protect our gun rights. We can protect the Second Amendment. I am out of time, my friends. I'll be back with you next week on Patriot Uprising Radio. God bless you guys. Stay safe and be willing to fight. Noah, say goodbye.
Peace out.
All right, we'll talk to you guys later. Bye.
You've been listening to Patriot Uprising Radio right here on KSLM and KSLM.news.